Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, everybody, to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you on Saturday morning, August 17th, 2019, in our nation's capital. It's good to be with you today. I want to start the show by giving you a couple of observations that I made while taking in the Redskins' second preseason game against the Cincinnati Bengals at FedEx Field Thursday night. First of all, a wildly boring game outside of that night's touchdown pass from Dwayne Haskins to Robert Davis. One thing I've noticed that Haskins clearly doesn't have the full offense. He doesn't have a full grasp of the offense, I guess I'm trying to say, yet. We can all see that, right? But there is a pattern developing where on these long pass plays, the guy just has incredible touch. And if you've watched the NFL for any length of time, particularly one specific team, and that is the Washington Redskins, you know from seeing countless quarterbacks roll through the turnstile here in D.C., is that some guys have that ability and some guys just don't. And, well, there's no question that Dwayne Haskins has it. To be able to connect with Robert Davis on a 55-yard strike across the field, mind you, as he's got a defender in his face pulling him to the ground, that's just impressive. And I think that is one of those things where you can obviously say he's got that big playability. He's got that ability to connect on those long passes. And again, you either have it or you don't. I think you can work on the rest of the stuff. But starting as a baseline, we know that he has that ability. And I think that's a positive note to be gained from their second preseason game. Here's something else I picked up on. A little behind-the-scenes observation, just from physically being in the press box. And I never knew this was a thing. And I had my buddy Grant Paulson there by my side to explain it to me, walk me through it. The penalty calls were just absurd, right? We can all agree on that. But the offensive pass interference call that negated the Kelvin Harmon play, I believe it was just ridiculous. Now, to go inside baseball for you here, Tony Wiley, the Redskins PR guy, says, would you guys like us to do a pool report? Now, let me take you into what a pool report is very briefly. In the instance where there is a questionable call in an NFL game, the collective media covering that game has the ability to designate one reporter, okay, to conduct this pool report, and it is a report that is to be used by all of the media there covering the game. So what that entails is Tony Wiley, the Redskins' top PR guy, has to reach out to the NFL and request an interview with a representative of the officials. Again, I never knew this was a thing. Certainly not to the extent that I saw it firsthand two nights ago. So the Redskins put in for the request for this pool report. Now, here's a little more backstory on why this specific pool report was unique. Rhianna Walker was the reporter, the designated reporter. She works for The Athletic. So she goes to talk to who the NFL gave her was, I guess, the head of officiating. Not even one of the officials that was making the errant calls in the game, but the head of officiating. So she gets on the call with this guy, and he says, look, you can ask as many questions as you want about one specific call, but you can't ask about more than one call. Now, there were like 7 blown calls in that game. So think about how ridiculous that is. In her head, she's got to figure out, all right, well, what was the most controversial call? And just be damned to all the other calls that were screwed up. So that was a little thing I picked up on from my first experience covering a Redskins game in person. I can't believe I've been in at 106.7 The Fan for 10 years, and that was my very first game covering the Redskins in person. So what a treat. And I wanted to play a clip from Monte Nicholson. He had a huge play in the game, obviously intercepting Andy Dalton at the 4-yard line. The ball's tipped in the air at the line by Daron Payne. Nicholson is there to clean up the mess, takes it 96 yards to the house, a huge momentum shifter, and just a huge play from a guy who struggled last year in Monte Nicholson, who it's good to see him have such a home run there early in the preseason and get off to a good start, because, you know, we're hoping for good things for him. He's a good guy. But Nicholson, after the game, was asked about Daron Payne, because Payne, as huge as he is, what is he, like 6'3", 325, 350 pounds, just a monster of a human being. Not only did he tip the ball that led to the interception, but then after the pick, he's out front as one of the lead blockers. Now, he wasn't keeping with Nicholson stride and stride, but stride for stride. But the dude was out there, and he was booking it. And it's just a jarring thing to see a guy move that fast, that big move that fast. Here's what Monte Nicholson had to say about exactly that after the game.
I don't know if you would mention this, but I guess, like, Montez Sweat, he ran 4.4 at the combine. That speed's kind of expected, but for Daron Payne to run with you guys, too, after throwing out, like, on the guy his size, what do you just make of him specifically being able to run that fast? Getting up the hand.
He's a freak. He's a freak. You know, I mean, I don't really know what else to say. He's a freak. You know, he's athletes like that don't come around very often. And I'm extremely happy that he's on my team. So, I mean, there's really not much else to say. That he's not only him, but Ioannidis and Allen, our interior is our problems. And, you know, I love it because, you know, that's batted balls, tip balls, and pressure on the quarterback. So, you know, it's all good for me.
Great quote there from Monte Nicholson on Daron Payne booking it with him towards the end zone last night on that 96-yard touchdown, interception return for a touchdown. I'll tell you one other brief observation. Now, I want to caution by saying that this was just one game, small sample size. But it did seem like there was a noticeable strong rapport on the defensive side of the ball in that locker room after the game. The Redskins lost, we know that. But when talking about each other, talking about, you know, Josh Norman talks about Nicholson and the huge play that he had and how great he looks, and Nicholson talking about Josh Norman. And I've been in enough locker rooms to know when there's just a connection there. So the small sample comes into play where I haven't been in NFL locker rooms, but I know human beings, and I've been in professional locker rooms. I've covered the Nats here and there for 10 years. And there does seem to be a noticeable bond between those guys. So I don't know what that translates into, but it's there. And that certainly bodes well for them as they head into a big season for the Redskins and for Jay Gruden. Let's go ahead and shift into our top five most read stories of the week from thefandc.com. These are the stories that mean the most to you in DC sports, as determined by you, by your page views.
It's time for the download countdown. The five most read stories this week on thefandc.com.
Let's do this.
Number five.
Our own Craig Hoffman sat down with Redskins offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell this week. You can watch the full interview, by the way, on 106.7 The Fan's YouTube page. nice high quality sit down with the OC there, first year OC and Kevin O'Connell. O'Connell went into great detail about their plan with the offensive line, but at the end of his answer, he turns to the camera and delivers a special message to Trent Williams.
Oh, I'm going to ask you about the quarterbacks in a second because I don't want to get fired, and that's my job, is to ask you the things that people want to know about.
I'm surprised we got five minutes in here.
You know, well, you know, we got to ease into it. I'll ask you the more fun one then. Since we're starting with the line, how much does your identity change if 71's not here?
It does. There's no denying that, and every Redskin fan out there knows that, you know, he's an elite player. Obviously, nobody wants him back more than me. I'm right up there with every other guy walking around the halls of this building right now. We want him back badly. But we feel good about the depth that we have over there on that left side. It's still sorting itself out, both at the guard position and the tackle position. But I'll tell you what's been a real bonus and a plus is getting that center, the right guard, and the right tackle back playing together. We feel, obviously, those guys have been playing together now a while, and we feel really good about that. But as far as the depth goes with the draft picks, Wes Martin, Ross Pershbachler from Alabama, and then obviously the free agents that we've brought in here, we feel good about the depth. Now it's just figuring out who those five guys are going to be and then letting them get as many reps as they possibly can. But there's no doubt, if Trent, you're out there and you're listening, man, we'd love to have you back as soon as possible.
Almost a little desperation in his voice there. Again, that was Kevin O'Connell talking to our own Craig Hoffman. You can watch that full video on YouTube. Just head to YouTube and search for 106.7 The Fan and head to that page there. When we come back, we still have our top four stories of the week. These are the four biggest stories of the week in DC sports as determined by you by giving us your page views. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan.
It's The Download with Chris Lingbach.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
On 106.7 The Fan and the radio.com app.
Welcome back to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you. Let's pick up where we left off. But before we do that, don't forget, of course, the best segment of the week on radio is still to come. That is the Junkies Rewind. That'll be a little later on in this show. Let's pick up with our top five most read stories of the week from thefandc.com. These are the biggest stories in DC sports as determined by you with your page views, with your patronage to thefandc.com.
Number four.
The narrative on the Redskins receiver group has drastically changed since the spring. What was once seen as the weakest position group on the field heading into the NFL draft, talk has now shifted, with the belief being that they may actually have a surprisingly talented group of young receivers in Robert Davis, Jehu Chesson, Josh Doctson, Kelvin Harmon, Darvin Kidzie, Terry McLaurin, Brian Quick, Trey Quinn, Paul Richardson, Cam Sims, and of course Steven Sims. They're all battling for their place on this team, but it's only really Quinn, Richardson, and McLaurin who are believed to be final roster locks at this point. But it's been the latter, Terry McLaurin, who's really broken free from the pack at training camp, as Craig Hoffman explained to the Junkies this week.
Which wide receiver is making the most big plays?
McLaurin. Not even close. Really? He had another one the other day where that was actually Colt's best play of the day yesterday when he finds McLaurin deep. He's just, his speed matters. And I think they are almost a little freaked out with how good he is. They drafted him with the idea that he's the best special teams player in the draft who would be a rotation level receiver in the first couple years of his career, at the very least his rookie year, and he's going to wind up starting at receiver and maybe being their best one. He's way better as a receiver than I think they imagine. We'll see if it can carry over to games, but in practice, his ability to run away from people, whether it's vertically or horizontally across the field, has led to more big plays than any other receiver. I think Cam Sims is next, but McLaurin is the runaway winner in the big plays category.
Could they start McLaurin, Richardson, and Quinn?
Yes, and I think that's what it's going to wind up being. You know, the benefit of Paul, actually all three of those guys, is they can all play all three spots. They can all slide inside of the slot, although Trey will be the guy who does that in almost all of formations that have those three guys involved. And then you have, both Paul and Terry can play both spots because they're both so fast. I think what you wind up doing is you put McLaurin in Doxson's spot and let Richardson play what they call the Z, which is off the line of scrimmage, so you're not facing as much press coverage. It's typically on the same side as the tight end. They can flip that, but it allows Paul to kind of do the things that he's great at, where McLaurin is strong enough to do the things he needs to and play with power at that position while also still obviously using his speed. It doesn't magically go away because of the letter that he's technically lined up as.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Terry McLaurin outside of Trey Quinn seems to really be making waves. Obviously, he had a great training camp where we wouldn't be hearing so much about him, but then to talk about him as though he may be a starter, I mean, that's quite a turn for the third-round pick out of Ohio State. You know, you hear that the Redskins drafted him because they believed he was the best special teams player in the draft. Well, that makes sense. Third round, you need a young wide receiver. It's great on special teams. That's the place to draft the guy in the third round. And then, as it turns out, he's a lot better and a lot earlier on in his career than you would have thought. That's the type of training camp surprise that can really turn a season. You get a couple of those around the roster, and all of a sudden you're a lot better this year in totality than you would have expected. If you have five or six Terry McLaurin scattered throughout the roster, you're in great shape. Of course, it's still early to tell, and we haven't really seen McLaurin in game action yet. And I guess to Craig's point, that there's probably a reason for that. What other reason would they have to hold a rookie third-round receiver out from preseason games outside of you view him as a starter and you don't want him to get hurt before the season? That was our fourth most read story of the week from thefandc.com.
Number three.
The Redskins aren't even out of the gate in 2019, and the seat is already turned up on Jay Gruden. Bovada Sportsbook released its annual futures on NFL head coaches. And Jay Gruden is the odds-on favorite to be the first NFL head coach fired in 2019. Here's how those odds shake out. Gruden leads with 3-1 odds. The Giants head coach Pat Shurmur in second at 7-1. Lions coach Matt Patricia, now in his second year, 10-1 odds. And then Bill O'Brien of the Texans and Dan Quinn of the Falcons taking up the rear at 12-1 odds. Before we get ahead of ourselves in this conversation, I want to direct you to this piece of audio, which I've played on this show before. Long-time downloaders out there, of course, you'll recognize this right away. This was Charlie Casserly a couple of weeks ago on this very radio station.
It has been predetermined that this is Gruden's make or break year.
Right.
Okay, by everyone in the press.
Right.
Okay, and I've seen how that happens. People just make it up. They don't know that. The only guy who knows that's right. Dan Snyder.
Right.
Okay, really.
Right.
So, but you can't have a make or break year when you're going to play Dwayne Haskins midway through the season.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the thing that's going to be unfair in this situation.
Well, just to add
now,
some
whether
validity.
Gruden deserves to be back, that's another story.
So I play that audio for you for the simple fact that there are so many, I think, complicating circumstances surrounding Jay Gruden and whatever his job status is at Redskins Park. And I asked Dukes this question yesterday. You know, how likely is it that the Redskins have a different view of Jay Gruden internally than what the outside world sees? And I asked that because so many times with the Redskins, like, I know that there's a lot of reporters that cover the Redskins, as there are with any NFL team. The NFL is a juggernaut in that regard, and it just kind of pulls everybody in towards its polar vortex. But we've seen so often with the Redskins where If something gets reported on the local level and it doesn't mirror what's being reported about the team on a national level. So many times has that happened to where it just kind of gives me a little bit of pause when it comes to the specific topic of Jay Gruden and how hot his seat is, if at all. I'd also like to remind people, it's not like Jay Gruden is a lame duck here. He has another year after this on his contract, because remember, he signed that extension a few years back. So there seems to be so many people from the outside coining their top five hottest seats in the NFL as the season starts, and Jay Gruden is always inevitably in these discussions. But I just don't know how true that is. I guess there's one way to find out, and that's to play the season out and see what happens. But I really wonder. I've long argued that Gruden deserves more credit than he's gotten in his time here in Washington, because his entire tenure here, he's played with one arm tied behind his back. He's coached with one arm tied behind his back, and I liken it almost to Mike Rizzo with the Washington Nationals, where if all things were equal, I think Rizzo would easily be lauded as one of the top GMs in baseball, but he goes into every single offseason, and this year the learners have decided that they don't want to spend X many dollars on a bullpen, or they don't want to add an extra bat in the offseason, and here's your salary cap, deal with it. To where I just don't think that it's a normal scenario in its given field. And you want to talk about one more circumstance. Charlie Casserly brought it up there. If the powers that be decide that Dwayne Haskins is going to start midway through the season, well, then how can you judge Jay Gruden accordingly when he's coaching with a rookie quarterback? I just really think there's a lot of things clouding this particular circumstance and the status of Jay Gruden's job security in Ashburn, to the point where I don't think it's quite as obvious as these supposed outsiders are projecting. Anyhow, that's our third most read story of the week from thefandc.com. Of course, you can read more about it at thefandc.com/Redskins. Got to get to a break. When we come back, our top two stories of the week. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan.
It's The Download with Chris Lingbach.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
On 106.7 The Fan and the radio.com app.
Welcome back to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you. One final segment before the best segment of the week, and that is The Junkies Rewind. The best segment in sports talk radio every single week airs right here on The Download. Let's get to our top two stories of the week from thefandc.com.
Number two.
Publicly, the Redskins are holding pat that they're not hearing offers. They're not listening to offers on left tackle Trent Williams, who continues his holdout now past training camp. Until something happens, we won't really know what the truth is. But this soundbite from J.P. Finley, who's maintained all along that he doesn't believe Trent Williams is going anywhere, raised some eyebrows among Redskins fans because of his seismic turnaround.
J.P. Finley, NBCSportsWashington.com. J.P. Adam Schefter says the Redskins have gotten phone calls on Trent Williams, and they had told teams they will not be trading him. Do you believe that?
Well, Grant, I reported this morning. I know the Redskins have gotten phone calls on Trent. I know there are three teams actively pursuing him. That includes the Patriots, which we first heard about a couple weeks ago. So we know that people are calling. As far as the Redskins won't trade him, I believe that's what they're saying today and maybe yesterday and tomorrow. There's no upside in them admitting they're looking to trade him, because they lose leverage in the deal. They have to pretend that the charade of them willing to stonewall him for a year is possible. I just don't see it happening. I heard your tease there about, you know, taking calls on how much your opinion has changed. The phone calls I've had with some league folks in the last week, I think Trent Williams is as good as gone.
Wow. So Jordan Palmer Finley, ultimately you think that he's traded and that's how this gets resolved?
Yeah, I do.
What's the timetable on that? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, hold on. I'm not saying you specifically, JP. I don't remember every person's opinion the entire time. But I think collectively most of us didn't think that way. And at one point in time, he's going to show up. Eventually he'll come back. They'll do something. They'll get this right. What's changed?
For me personally, I'll tell you, is I wrote a story last week while we were in Richmond after talking to a few different people close to Trent that know the situation. I thought all along that this would end in late August, that Trent would show up and that he'd be the left tackle in Philadelphia week one. A lot of that was because I thought he didn't want to miss game checks. He didn't want to miss regular season games. He cares about football too much. The conversations I have with these folks lead me to believe that while he still cares about games a tremendous amount, the issues between him and the Redskins organization are such that he is willing to really miss regular season games and to carry this thing on for a while.
Okay,
so with that knowledge, I think if I know it, I think the Redskins know it too, and I think they recognize that they cannot let this continue to just get worse and worse, and at some point you got to leverage your asset.
So, Jake Plummer-Finley, when does this go down then? Is it wait until the regular season, until a tackle goes down? Is it hoping somebody gets injured somewhere and then somebody comes more desperate? When do you think this all goes down?
I think it all depends on when the price tag gets high enough. Mm-hmm. I think you are talking about a first-round pick, or you're talking about a player that can help the Redskins in return right away. Because the other part we know that Bruce Allen and throughout the organization has said is – we believe we're close. So if you believe you're close, then a package of picks in 2020 and 2021 might not mean as much to you as a good player that can help you right now.
And now, the number one story this week on thefandc.com.
Craig Hoffman made waves with his assessment of the quarterback battle as training camp wrapped up for the Redskins last weekend. Hoffman described Case Keenum as having emerged as the clear frontrunner to win the job, listing Keenum 1, Colt McCoy 2, and Dwayne Haskins 3 on the Redskins quarterback depth chart. Hoffman writes, simply put, McCoy had an awful week. Keenum hasn't been eye-popping by any means, but McCoy's lead not only shrank, but it also disappeared. I would go as far as to say he's in a hole behind Keenum pending Thursday's game against the Bengals. We saw that, by the way. He did not play, so that didn't help him any. Hoffman goes on, and some of this health is health-related. He clearly doesn't trust his leg, and the continued reps seem to have taken a toll. The original plan called for rest every fourth day for McCoy. He wound up taking just one rest day in Richmond outside the scheduled off days. Hoffman continued. However, his decision-making is what sunk him this week. He routinely threw into coverage. He missed open receivers. He was just bad. McCoy did have some bright moments, as one does over the course of many reps of training camp. That included a good ball to rookie Terry McLaurin for a touchdown today. However, the thing that separated McCoy from the other quarterbacks was a working knowledge of the offense, and if that doesn't result in production, it's fairly useless, and Keenum is forever closing the knowledge gap. Here's what Craig Hoffman had to say the following morning.
Craig, if you had to... rate in terms of who's had the most productive plays at quarterback? Who's it been?
I think that would be Keenum. But if you're going like explosive plays, it's Haskins.
Right.
But there's also the negative plays that kind of negate and overwhelm all of those explosive plays. But yeah, Keenum consistently moves the ball forward. He's had some interceptions. Some of them have been bad luck.
He's got to be the guy then.
Has Colt led in any department?
I think early he did. Like, you know, when you guys were down there and I told you that Colt was the number one quarterback, it's because Colt led in that department. Colt was consistently moving the ball. You know, Case would get stuck a lot. But that's kind of come back to earth, and also Colt's interceptions have picked up. So I think that Case right now is just the most consistent guy, but it's not like Case is going out and winning the job.
Right.
Colt's kind of lost it temporarily over the last week. Again, there's still a lot of this to go. But right now, clearly, Case is the most consistent And on some level, he's just the one who's going to mitigate the damage the most. And you know, if you can play this field position game with your with the defense they have and the running game they're going to have, that's how they're going to win football games.
And that's our top story of the week. You can read more about it at thefandc.com/Redskins. And for every story that you heard on this very show today, if you'd like to read more about it, or maybe there was a visual element or an audio element that you just couldn't quite grasp or pick up on, and you want to just find the full context and take your own leisurely time, everything I talk about it on this show, you can find at thefandc.com. When we come back, my favorite segment of the week, your favorite segment of the week, the Junkies Rewind. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan.
It's The Download with Chris Lingbach on 106.7 The Fan and the radio.com app.
Welcome back to The Download. It's time for our favorite segment of the week. I say our because I know it's your favorite, and it certainly is mine as well, so we can join in harmony in that belief. This week, oh boy, our guy Awad has been caught lying yet again.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And I'm telling you, it just, it never, ever gets old.
The Junkies Rewind on The Download.
I had a very mini dilemma yesterday. So I was going to play golf over at Laytonville with EB's brother and another buddy. And the tee time was 4:25 or so. And so Laytonville's not that far from where I live. As long as I was free by 3:30, I'd be good to go. Kelsey and Dylan were with me. I was doing stuff. And then went outside with Dylan and Isabella. And she has this wagon toy. She calls it the roller coaster because you put it on top of a little crate. And there are little kind of train tracks. Mm-hmm. And then it has two pieces which you attach to it. And you get up on it and you go for a little mini roller coaster ride.
Right.
And so we're out there, and she's done it several times, no problem. And then Dylan wanted to try it. He's 12.
Right.
He's too big for it. Mm-hmm. But he got on it by being able to put his feet in a certain position to avoid his feet hitting the ground. And then Isabella tried to copy what he did next. There's no place for the two-year-old really to put her feet. She usually just spreads them out wide. And instead, she put her feet in a position that ended up hitting the wheel. She took a tumble, face first, oh. Face plant, had a scrape on the side of her head, and then had a cut on her chin.
Hmm.
And my wife, of course, freaks out, panicking, blood's, you know, coming out. And I go the more calm route, because I always remember when I got stabbed when I was 17 years old, and I went back to the condo.
You mean where you almost passed out?
Yes, but when I went to the condo, I remember when the door opened, my mom was freaking out because I was blood all over my face and my arm is in. And
we're just two, attacked.
And there's two strangers right. with me who have like brought me to this apartment. But I always remember my grandfather, who was a physician, was calm and told people to like calm down. So like my general aspect is let's see what's happening before.
Not me.
You,
I'm a panicker.
I'm a freaker out.
Right. I like to panic.
Yeah, right. That's and that's default. Usually how it's going to be in a relationship. So she's freaking out like immediately like we got to get stitches. We got to go to the emergency room. And I'm like, let's see what's doing. Like, blood's coming out, but you got to clean it up and see what's doing. And after I cleaned it up, it's like, okay, let's go to the emergency room. Like, it may need a couple stitches. It may not. Now they can kind of glue it. Let's just at least go. And so the dilemma was not that. The dilemma was we get there around 1:30. Now I have this tea time.
The golf round was in peril.
What do I do?
Because
you
leave
seem like
your kid?
An absolute jackass if you leave the kid. Luckily for me, the timing worked out where she needed a stitch. She had one stitch. So she has one stitch in her chin, first time she had stitch, and everything was fine. The timing worked out, but if the doctor came by and said, okay, we're going to put some like numbing cream on first, and Isabella freaked out, but
to numb it for 45 minutes. I'm looking at the clock. 45 minutes. We were around 3 o'clock. Tee time at 4:24. And I have two guys who have never met each other. I'm friends with Matt, and I'm friends with my buddy Lance. But, like, how did I even make this happen? Like, did they check it? Like, all that kind of stuff. What would you have done?
I don't know. I probably would have canceled the golf. I mean, I don't care.
I mean,
that
I thought
much.
About it.
It would have been the perfect excuse.
I probably
would have
just canceled
golf.
I mean, you're screwing the other guys. Yeah.
You're screwing the other guys.
Cakes would be praying for that.
Yeah, I would just hope that I would get 10 stitches, so I wouldn't have to go play golf.
And then I even told him, I was like, I even, because I didn't know if I was going to, I thought I was going to be able to make it, and it worked out, the timing and all that stuff. But I had to say, okay, Matt, Lance has glasses. And I was like, I don't even know how to describe you. I put them in like a group text because maybe they have to link up. And then the worst case scenario happened, Cakes. So I make it to the course, and it's three of us, and a fourth guy shows up.
Terrible. Oh, they put you with the fourth guy?
They didn't put it. He went up to Matt. So we're in the carts, and I'm with my buddy Lance in a cart.
It's awkward.
And Matt is in a cart, empty seat. We're about to tee off, and a guy has one of those push carts.
Yep.
And he rolls up, and he goes to Matt, and he goes, "Hey, I'm Steve. You mind if I join you?"
You got to have a lot of balls.
What are you going to do at that point? I mean, you're going to be a jerk and say, actually, Steven is my probably name. Rather you not join us.
No, what you should have done, so you got to be a forward thinker. You got to say, we're expecting a fourth to join us on the third tee.
That's the move. Yeah, our fourth is running behind.
And let him go, and then you'll never see him again.
Steve ended up being a nice guy.
They're always nice.
They always end up being nice.
When I the last
just
time I
six
played
holes
with you,
to get comfortable.
The guy couldn't have been nicer. But it was awkward that he was there.
It's
he was super
awkward.
Nice.
It's always awkward.
You don't know this person.
I can't believe you scheduled a tee time at 4:30 on a Sunday night.
Finished the round in 3 hours.
I would never, unless I was on vacation, I would never play golf at 4:30 on a Sunday.
Of course, that's what you're winding down.
And 40
yeah,
minutes.
I mean, I'm getting ready for bed.
Well. I loved it because a lot of people say they don't like to play weekend golf because a lot of times it takes a long time. We finished around in 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Because no one's playing at that time.
Yeah, I mean, no one's.
We had a group in front of us and groups behind us.
It's rare.
It was actually a pretty full course. Like, the parking lot was full.
That's amazing you got it in that quickly then. You and I are supposed to play out at Woodmont on Thursday.
Yeah, we're playing with my guy Barry.
My guy Barry G. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I got to thank Barry. He sent me a package of, because I hurt my back a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
He sent me a package of a roller and an ice pack that I haven't used yet, but I should. But, you know, he heard me talking about it. And
that was nice of him.
They look like good products.
Yeah. He's rich.
And I've never met Barry.
Barry is a caring listener of the show.
I've never met that guy.
When I went to Europe last year, and I think he hooked each of us, you know, they have different outlets over there.
Yep.
And you have to have adapters. He sent us. Did we each get this gift?
Another reason to avoid Europe.
Did we
different
each get
adapters?
This gift? It was like a package of. Like,
I think it was just for you.
Adapters.
But he sent, remember when they had the thing where you had to look into the sun?
Oh, yeah.
He sent us the glasses.
A million of them.
He sent us a million of the glasses.
Yeah. Barry Caring Glassman.
What a joke that was, by the way.
Didn't they say
two glasses?
Stare right at it.
Yes.
President Trump, of course, did.
Well, wasn't there a rapper too that like lost like half of his vision because he stared right at the sun? Like,
I don't believe that. I mean,
it might have come back.
You can
look
at the sun for a second.
He sent a lot of glasses.
He did send a lot of glasses.
Lot of eBay.
Went to good use too.
Yeah, a lot of eBay. Yeah.
By the way, Valdez coming off a successful Wendy's appearance in Wheaton on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Wendy's
was there from 9 to 11.
Clap it up!
Are you giving away Frosties?
They're giving away free Wendy's for a year, once a week.
For the first 100 people
first
in line.
First 100 people in line.
You get free Wendy's for a year, once a week?
Once a week. You buy a soda, you get like a chicken sandwich or one of those premium salads for free.
Wendy's is underrated. I love
it. It's a great deal.
You know, some of these other restaurants now are so kind of trendy that the lines are ridiculous. I just go to the next door Wendy's and I go right in and I get a silly sandwich. Amazing.
Their chicken you can't go wrong
Their chicken
with
sandwich
it.
Is amazing.
Did they pay you in single with Jesus?
No, they didn't. They
paid him in,
yeah, they
in
did
single
pay me,
dollar
though.
Bills, though.
And nice.
I heard he got paid a good amount of single
I was asking
bills.
Adam how his last week was, and I said, I expect the same with the ladies. No luck. And he goes, almost. I go, what do you mean, almost?
Same old story.
And have you guys heard the almost story?
I don't know. You ask him all the time about his love life.
Well, I just ask
best
him, you know,
luck.
Any luck with the ladies?
Best of luck to him, but I don't want him to ask.
I feel bad for a guy to just go years without, you know, hooking up.
You know he's wearing cologne now. That's his new thing.
That's his bit?
What brand?
What kind are you wearing, stupid?
I decided to splurge on my smell, so I got Hugo Boss for $45.
I'll go with your scent instead of your smell.
Way, here's what's going to happen with Adam. This is classic.
You should work on your smell.
This is classic for a guy that doesn't, you know, has never been able to do well with his finances. So he paid Cakes back. I don't know if you're here. He paid Cakes back. Yeah. How much he owed him. And he's making a little more money now because he has a second job over the podcast village. He's doing well. But he's not going to save any of it. He's just going to spend more. And so this is just classic.
Of course. That now it's 40 bucks, though.
He's got, okay, 40 bucks.
I think it's worth it.
He'll end up spending all his money.
All right.
By the way, yesterday I listened to a show, and I think he's improving, doing a fine job. But he was like, should I DM Taylor Swift? Or was it Taylor Swift or whoever's
Miley
screen?
Cyrus?
Miley Cyrus.
She's what? Now single.
Why on earth?
Yeah, right.
But she was she was seen making out with another girl.
Yeah, right. Like, I think it was like Brody Jenner's ex-wife or something.
Who was she married to?
She was with Liam Hemsworth. Oh, I don't know if she was. Were they
got married.
Sorry, it wasn't
Taylor Swift. It was Miley Cyrus. Yeah, was just screaming like, "I signed into her DM."
So a slightly less unobtainable person.
So that marriage lasted about 15 minutes.
Fizzled.
I don't even know if they were married. I know they were living together.
I don't know.
It was 8 months.
I thought she tweeted out pictures of their wedding.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Eight months.
I think they've been living. Though they've certainly been together for years.
Oh yeah.
So maybe they were only married 8 months, something like that.
He realized she was a pain in the ass.
Well, apparently one of the deals was. He's just sick of her antics. They said what might have put him over the edge is they would do public appearances. She would lick his face. And he's like, can you stop doing this?
Hey, was
like,
Laura licking your face at the Wendy's appearance, Valdez? Yes, wasn't.
If I had like some Frosty maybe on my cheek.
By the way, Drab, this is revisiting something old. Is it true that you once had fun with yourself watching Wrecking Ball, the video?
I think it got him all hot and bothered.
I think so, yeah. It got me started.
Like a sampler play?
That was like 7 years ago. That
was so long ago. But hold on. We never got to the Adam almost story.
Yeah.
So Adam
is always ends the same.
Well, it does, but it's still interesting. I think there's a little more subplot to this, right? Go ahead. Where were you?
Typical me, I was the life of the house party. All right. So they start playing Slap Cup. And
what is Slap Cup?
When you bounce the ping pong ball into the cup, and then you slap the person's cup beside you if you do it quicker than them. And,
okay.
It gets a little messy.
Right.
Girls get after it. And I was the king of the game.
Right.
And I was, you know, attracting all the girls to come over next to me.
Because you're so good at Slap Cup?
Yeah.
Because right. They find binge drinking so attractive.
What a great skill.
So
Go ahead.
I'm making moves on one of the girls, and we're starting to flirt.
An attractive girl?
Yeah.
Or just a girl?
I'm not drunk. I've been drinking, though.
An attractive girl.
Yeah. Okay. Who's she look like?
Roseanne.
Right. She look like Roseanne? Like a younger Roseanne?
No, I can't think of someone she looks like right now. But
right. Does she look like she could play? Like
Mama June.
Does it look like she could play on the offensive line?
No, she was cute.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, looks like athletic, maybe? Tonight.
Like, could she run a mile, you think?
Yeah. She had like a soccer bod.
What happened?
All right.
Nothing.
No, what happened? So you guys are... She's...
Basically,
you start talking.
We start talking, then we move inside to the couch.
What happened?
Sitting there hanging out. We got a little exclusive one-on-one with her.
Right.
That's when I really put on my moves.
How many people are in the house, by the way? 15?
About 15.
15 people. They're all partying, whatever.
Yeah.
And you
and
her,
a lot of people were out on the deck.
You and her are just by yourself on the couch.
Yeah.
Are there other people in the room?
No.
Nobody's
so
in that room.
One-on-one, like in
Most
the
people were on the deck. Yes.
Most people are on the deck. It was just you and her on the couch.
Yeah. All right.
Go ahead.
And so I'm actually trying to convince her to come back to Pamplona with me. That was my move.
Right. Where you're the king.
Exactly. Because I wanted to show off for her.
Right.
But basically, I don't know. We were both kind of drunk and.
Kind of.
I walked her to the door and I kissed her and I called her an Uber and I said, hey, can I get in? Can I come back to your place? And she said, not this time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, hold on. That's nothing. You told me you were making out with the chick. You kissed her goodbye.
No. On the couch, we were kind of getting after it.
Oh,
kinda.
It's now diminished quite a bit.
Remember,
you made it sound like
you
in the break room.
So
he's a
steamy.
Liar. He's a proven liar.
He's a documentary liar.
I know. I'm over there getting a coffee or whatever, and I say, "How did we get there?" He goes, "He said I was making out with a chick." I mean, oh really? And then he said, "Yeah, and I almost got in her Uber." It sounds like you just kissed her goodbye. That's all he did.
You almost got in her Uber. She said no to you.
She said, don't get in my Uber, and she didn't make out with you. You kissed her goodbye.
As close to his Uber as you did.
Am I right, Javi?
You're on to something. He's also protecting himself there because he just said we were getting after it a little bit. So when she hears about this, he can say, no, I didn't say we were making out. I said we were getting after it.
Right.
Because
which means they did nothing.
It means nothing.
It means
he's lying on all fronts here.
All right, hold on.
Yeah.
Getting after it means getting handsy. And that was 100% happened.
So you held hands?
What were your hands doing?
Grabbing boobie.
What? You weren't grabbing boobs. You weren't grabbing any boobs.
Boobie?
If you weren't kissing, you weren't grabbing any boobs.
I guarantee that I had hand on booty, hand on boobie.
I don't believe it. Like for a second.
Put it to the lie detector.
All right, for a second. How long was your hand on her boob? For like, did it graze it?
No, like it was like a caress.
Oh, a caress.
One caress?
A caress.
One caress for like a second?
No. Probably
2 seconds?
But 30 seconds.
30 seconds. 30 of
seconds.
Butt.
That's 30 nothing.
Seconds of
maybe
butt.
Maybe well, a minute.
How long were you kissing her?
What, did
her
she sit on your hand by
you
a mistake?
Weren't doing, hold on. His hand. You weren't doing this without kissing.
Hey, show
us that you're lying.
Hey,
you're
show and grab lying. What you were doing.
You're just like reaching out.
Hey, grab jug.
Grab but she was basically like sitting in my lap.
Right, so you were like, you were kind of like holding her.
Did you make
you're
out?
You were kind of like holding her.
Demonstrate.
Stop it. I'm not demonstrating.
Did you make out?
It was a love seat.
Yeah.
It was a love seat. We were.
Right, and you take up most of the love seat. I get that.
Did you make out?
No. It was getting after it.
That's a no.
That's a big lie.
Well, you know what happened. They're drinking.
That's a lie.
You're at a love seat. You're drinking. She sits on your lap. She's drunk. She can't believe what she's doing. And so your hand is inadvertently on her
butt. He saw his belly, thought it was a beanbag.
Yeah, right. She thought it was one of those big beanbags that they sell.
Yeah, one of those love sacks.
Those huge ones. So she's sitting on your lap. Your hand is like inadvertently on her butt, and you graze the boob.
Not inadvertently at all.
Yeah, it was like she sat on your lap, so your hand was there.
I chose to place it there.
Yeah, okay, right. But nothing's happening.
She thought it was a waterbed.
You're kind of holding her. You're not doing anything. And then your hand grazed the boob as you tried to kiss her.
He's basically holding her hostage on the love seat.
It's borderline sexual assault.
Yeah,
no,
and then you tried to get her Uber.
She was 100% okay with everything.
And then she probably called police.
She wanted more.
She wanted more.
Yeah, right.
He didn't even make out.
God, that's so different than the story he told me during the break. It's like, yeah, we made out. You know, close.
Yeah,
got close.
The microphones, the lights go on, and he makes up stories.
No, I did feel like it was very close to hitting the home run.
Yeah, sure you did.
Close to hitting the home
run.
You barely. I'm not even sure you got a kiss goodbye. You kissed her. I'm not even sure she kissed you. Where was the kiss?
If I'd gotten in the Uber, I would have hit Skins. It was right on the lips.
And she kissed you back.
Yes.
How long was the kiss?
Multiple times.
How long was the kiss?
Like a second.
Like a second, like you kissed like your mom or something. It was like a peck.
It wasn't like a mom. It was like a hot kiss. It was like she was sized.
Right. Okay. All right.
Like how Steve used to kiss your mom. Sorry, I know that's a hot button topic for you.
You know how to tilt me.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Well, anyway, you're right. It always ends up in the same place. Nothing ever happens, and we never know how to get out of the segment.
There will be a breaking news sounder within the month.
What, when you hit Skins?
When I hit the Skins.
I
will hit the Skins before the Redskins hit the Skins for regular season week one.
Well, yeah,
less
than a month.
With this chick or in general?
After we send her the audio.
With this chick or another chick.
How much do you want to bet? You're making more money nowadays. I'm willing to make that bet.
How much you want to bet?
Bet $100.
No, that's too steep for me. I got to pay rent. $25.
$25.
It's pretty sizable.
That you're going to hit Skins
the
between now.
The to this is he can just lie about
no,
it.
No, no, no. We'll be able to tell.
No, we have to.
No,
we
need video
verify.
Evidence.
I just don't know why he's so confident. He hasn't had sex in 2019.
Yeah,
he hasn't.
Now that I got a little bit of money, I got my style is improving.
Look at this stuff. Money style. Look
we
at that
give you
shirt.
A whole segment on the shirt he's wearing today.
It could right. look more Amish.
What is the shirt that he's wearing?
It's probably a Maury hand-me-down. Most likely.
It's one of your dad's old shirts? It looks like one of your dad's old shirts.
It's a Golden Bear golf ball. That's what it's called.
But it smells like Hugo Boss, which gets the lady socks.
Yeah, apparently.
Right. I'm in for $25. Done.
How are we going to verify? Just because we'll be able to be the lie detector.
We can sniff it out.
Right.
He's an awful liar.
And can we get the girl to verify if you hit the skin?
Yeah, you have to have the girl verify.
She has to verify.
She has to like send a little
this is like
a tribute video.
Or a video.
It is e-verify.
A video, or we just call
she
her.
She definitely has to verify.
And she just says that, yeah, we hit the skins.
Deal.
And you were awesome.
All right.
All right, we do need to get out of this.
I don't know, it's the easiest $25 you ever made. The easiest.
He won't pay for like 2 months.
He paid cakes.
Yeah, he got me
he
back.
He paid cakes.
The Chunky's Rewind on the download.
I got to get out of here. I'll see you guys same time next Saturday at 7 a.m. Please check out the podcast. In the meantime, head to iTunes and type in Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. You can find the download podcast there along with many other enjoyable podcasts from the non-primetime hosts here at 106.7 The Fan. We need some love, too. And, of course, you can catch me tomorrow night on 106.7 The Fan from 5 to 8 with my buddy Tom Daly. We will be wrapping up the evening after the Nats broadcast. Thanks for listening. See you then. Bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.